welcome to Between the Rows. I'm Ed White, your host this week. Today, we'll discuss the mystery of the true size of the Canadian canola crop.
Crop's going to be smaller, 15, 16, 17. I've heard a million tons. Estimates are kind of all over the place, but generally going to be down from last year's 18.7, I think we grew last year. The question is now, is like how small will it be?
We'll talk about how, at least for now, it's easier to sell Canadian lentils to India.
But they are anything but predictable. They change constantly. And so the hope is that this reduction stays in place through harvest and you know, into winter. But you never know.
And we'll hear some of what was said during the Federal Agriculture Minister's visit to drought-ravaged Manitoba. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Part of being a farmer is being an accountant, and a mechanic, and a chemist. You have lots on the go. So FarmLink makes your grain marketing go further. We help you reach your financial goals with calculated sales decisions. No bias, just solutions and results. Plus, with our new app GrainFox, we bring every opportunity right to your fingertips. Literally. Start seeing the returns that'll get your family ahead. You've earned it. FarmLink. Your work is worth more. Get started at farmlinksolutions.ca.
The drought gripping most of Canada's farm country, from BC to Ontario, is placing an incredible strain on farm families and crippling the farm economy. Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau visited Manitoba's parched Interlake region and saw, up close, how bad the situation has become, especially for cow-calf producers. Here's some of what Manitoba Cattle Producers President Tyler Fulton told the minister about how bad things have become.
Because of the drought challenges, some producers are making the very difficult decision to disperse part or all of their herds. It's a heavy toll on their mental health. One family who we heard from at the office this week had to disperse their whole herd. And I'd like to try to tell you what they said. They said, "Can you imagine how it feels to see your years of hard work and love for farming go onto a truck? This is our livelihood. It's heartbreaking." As beef producers, we truly appreciate the support that we've been receiving from other producers and from the general public too. And what I'm referring to is the crop producers that have taken the action to convert their failing crops to livestock feed. It's one of the really critical things that happens today, because time is running out.
Bibeau said she could feel how the situation was affecting farmers.
"I can't begin to imagine the stress that producers are going through. Watching your pastures and crops dry up, wondering how you're going to get your animals through the winter, and facing the prospect of sending breeder cattle off to auction, animals that are the result of generations of careful genetic selection, hard work, and sacrifice. There are tears, there's anger, there's mental stress. At times like this, we need to reach out to each other. We need to find a helping hand and a sympathetic ear. We all need to pull together. Neighbors helping neighbors, showing the true strength and solidarity of our communities."
The tour brought with it the announcement of tax changes and safety net accommodations to try to help farmers coping with terrible conditions. You can get more details on these through Glacier Farm Media publications, both in print and online. But probably the most important element to the tour for farm organizations was the opportunity to demonstrate to the government and the Canadian public just how bad things have become. Here's Bill Campbell, the president of Keystone Agricultural Producers, talking about that.
Well, I think the most significant part was coming and seeing the issues and, you know, and putting your boots on the ground. I think that was the biggest part, an acknowledgement that we do have an issue here, and getting out and seeing the impact and what it will do. You know, and with regards to the announcements, I believe that the crop insurance one, with regards to some of the components there and the timeliness to be able to make decisions. Agriculture really relies on timeliness and making decisions and moving forward. And so I think those two parts are really significant with regards to being able to tomorrow go home and make some decisions. Possibly there may be more further ongoing issues that need to be dealt for producers, you know, and the mental health part of it and all of that. Knowing that we're working for producers with other groups and that there is support out there. I think that's, you know, the significant part of some of the announcements. So
you got a good turnout here of urban media. Do you get the sense that the idea is getting out that this is more than just a farm issue or a rural issue, that this is like a broader economic situation?
Well, I hope so. I hope there's a broader understanding, and I think maybe that will be part of the COVID conversation as well, when we've seen empty store shelves and all of that part and where these products come from. And so, you know, to broaden that information and education with regards to food security and, you know, the communities. Like the communities that we visited today come to Winnipeg as well. They shop here. They purchase inputs. They purchase things that they need. And so it is important that we have these strong communities and build them. And without the proper industries in those communities, those people are not there. And so how do we go about facilitating the ability to have these people stay on their farms?
Extensive coverage of the drought from across Canada is available in Glacier Farm Media publications. This is Between the Rows. There's been a pretty significant development with the state of lentils and India, and Sean Pratt of the Western Producer joins us now to fill us in on what's going on and what it means to farmers. So welcome to the show, Sean.
Hi, Fed.
So what is the situation? What's happened and what does it mean?
Well, India has slashed its import duty on lentils. So a few years ago, they erected what amounts to about a 33% duty on lentils. And that has now dropped to 11% for Canadian lentils. And actually for lentils all around the world. The only exception is the United States, where they face a steeper duty of 33%, but that is down from 55% before. So their duty dropped as well, but it's just a little bit higher than, quite a bit higher than Canada's. So anyway, yeah, it's a big development because it makes trade with India feasible again. There wasn't much trade happening at a 33% duty, but with an 11% duty, there will be.
And do we have any idea of, you know, how permanent this is? Is this just a for now situation, or is this a sign of some sort of a policy change?
Well, that's a really good question, because with India, you never know. Like there is no expiry date on this new policy, but things change there all the time, and that is the big frustration for Canadian exporters and farmers. And Pulse Canada, they really want India to have some kind of predictable policies, but they are anything but predictable. They change constantly, and so the hope is that this reduction stays in place through harvest and you know, into winter, but you never know.
So that's a pretty short future to be worrying about, when really you're only looking, you know, maybe the most 6 months ahead. It must make trade very difficult for the companies in both India and
Canada. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is the source of frustration. It's hard, you know, things don't turn on a dime when you're talking about transporting lentils from a field in Saskatchewan to, you know, a market in India. It's a big, long, complicated logistics chain, and so, you know, if you're sort of partway through getting a shipment over there and then the policy changes again, it causes a nightmare. So last year, we were in a similar situation. India reduced its duty on June 1st, and then around September 1st, they reinstated it, but only temporarily till October. And then they ended up extending that reinstated duty reduction right through to the end of December. But it's that kind of, you know, wishy-washy policy that drives people crazy here.
And what kind of effect is that having on, you know, lentil producers, the lentil industry, the willingness of farmers to actually go out and plant the crop?
Well, you know, I don't know if it is having that big of an impact on acres, because acres, you know, there's still a healthy amount of lentil acres in the ground. And, you know, when you look at shipments to India, it's not like this kind of variable policy coming out of India is having a massive impact on exports to that country, because last year, in 2020, we shipped almost 1 million tons of lentils to India. And the next biggest customer was Turkey, which bought about half that amount. So India is still like the dominant player in the lentil market by far. It is the world superpower in the lentil market, and we get that's the problem. We just sort of have to. It's a, you know, dealing with them is a necessary evil. Basically, farmers need that market, and when the doors are open, we ship a lot of lentils over there.
Seems a lot like canola and China these days.
Yeah, there are some definite similarities there.
Well, I hope we don't have to have a conversation in 2 months about the higher duties coming back in. Hopefully we can get maybe a whole winter of better conditions.
Yeah, it's odd. The problem there, too, is there's sort of conflicting policy pulls. The Indian government wants to appease farmers because there's hundreds of millions of Indian farmers. But it also wants to appease consumers as well, and sometimes those two objectives are at odds, because the reason they are dropping the duty is they've got food price inflation happening in India, so they need to bring in more product to calm things down. But then they don't want to bring in too much product because then it competes with their farmers, and so, you know, it reduces prices over there. So peas is a good example. We've got, there's a 50% duty on peas now in India. And in addition, they have like 150,000 ton quota on peas. So you can import a total of 75,000 tons of green peas and 75,000 tons of other peas. But there's an outright ban on yellow peas, and the reason being is that yellow peas are a cheap substitute for chickpeas, Indian chickpeas, and they really want to protect their chickpea growers. So it's basically a de facto ban on yellow peas coming into that country, and that used to be a huge market for Canadian yellow peas. Oh, that's an example of you know how they're, you know, on one side they're trying to, you know, prop up the farmers, the prices that the farmers are receiving for their chickpeas. But on the other hand, you know, they could bring in these cheap yellow peas and make the, you know, pulses more affordable to the Indian public. So it's a complicated market.
Yeah. Yes. Sounds like it. So, well, thanks very much for catching us up on it today.
Yeah, you bet, Ed. No problem.
Sean Pratt is a reporter with The Western Producer, and this is Between the Rows. And now to catch up with what's going on in the markets, I turn to Phil Franz Warkenton of Markets Farm. Hello, Phil, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having me.
So here we are, really almost right on midsummer. What's going on in the markets? What's the big talk these days?
Yeah, well, the big talk is all about the weather right now. I suppose that's always the case in the middle of the growing season, but it's been hot and dry, and the drought conditions in Canada and also in a good chunk of the U.S. is definitely the talk of the markets right now. And the sense is crops are obviously been hurt by this weather and will be smaller, but how much smaller is the question in the back of everyone's mind, I suppose.
And, you know, whenever it comes to canola, the market really gets hung up on exactly how many million tons there are going to be. What are the estimates about that now in this rapidly continuing to dry situation? What are the official estimates, and what is the trade saying?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The Agriculture Canada, they put out a number last week, and they pegged the crop at 19.9 million tons, which would be up by about a million from last year. But the thing there is the Ag Canada, they're just going with trend yields, and they usually take weight for Statistics Canada's official survey numbers. Those won't be out till August. But the fact that Ag Canada pegged the crop at a million tons above last year was a bit of a surprise to people who thought it they might make an exception to their normal rule, I guess, this year. But the trade is generally, crop's going to be smaller. 15, 16, 17, I've heard a million tons. Estimates are kind of all over the place, but generally going to be down from last year's 18.7, I think we grew last year. The question is now is like how small will it be? There's, you know, every once in a while you hear an anecdotal report that where a bit of rain hit, it's not too bad, but there's much more anecdotal reports about poor yields and the drought hurting production. So at the end of the day, the crop will be small, and how small remains to be seen, but with the demand projections as they are, something's going to have to give, and to account for that. So prices will have to stay high to ration that demand would be the general takeaway.
And imagine it is, you know, there's a big difference between a 15 million ton crop and a 17 million ton crop in terms of the kind of buyers who can do without canola. I suppose the bigger the crop, the more the secondary buyers come in, but they can be driven off if prices go higher. But I don't know, by the time we get down to 50 million tons, how many half-hearted buyers are left?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, I guess. Because we've been, the past couple of years, we've had exports of around 10 million and the domestic crush is around 10 million, and more crush plants are being built. So, you know, we're talking 20 million tons demand in a given year. So that's not there. Someone's going to walk away and, you know, turn to soybeans or other options. Although that said, you know, how big is the world soybean crop going to be? They're running into some issues in some growing areas as well. But yeah, the something will have to give, and those customers that aren't willing to pay up for the dwindling supplies will be left lacking, I suppose.
And there's a lot of talk about a desire among many to see really drought-stricken crops being cut for livestock feed, which would help out the cow-calf operators and take a lot of stress off them. Is there much talk in the markets of much of that happening? Would that be a substantial impact on supplies of various crops, or is that just seen as a sort of a secondary, tertiary factor?
Yeah, I've heard kind of the same comments, but as it stands now, I would say that, yeah, secondary factor right now. It's not getting too much of a like big play in the futures markets per se, but it's definitely in the conversation. How much of that, because at the end of the day, these crops that will be being cut for green feed or something, are they're the ones that probably had a pretty poor yield potential to begin with. So how much that takes out of the total actual crop at the end of the day, I guess we'll see. But that's in the background as well, but hasn't been, at least I haven't seen it talked up by analysts, futures analysts, too much just yet.
And we're all, up here on in the Western Canadian region, talking endlessly about this drought and its various implications. What other kind of market stories are there out there? What are we ignoring? What are we not even noticing that's going on out there in the world grain market?
I guess the other one on the top of minds right now is, we have the U.S. weather. The Midwest has been hot and dry as well, although latest forecasts I saw was a bit milder into August, and so soybeans and corn, that's relatively good for them, although their condition ratings have been declining. I even haven't paid too close attention to it myself, but there's been flooding in Europe and drought in Argentina, and there's weather issues elsewhere in the world as well. That's it seems everywhere you look, nobody's having a good year. So the it's too wet, too dry, too something. So the so it's not just Canada or issues at work. Also, it mainly all ties down to the weather, I guess, is at the top of everything. I'm sure there's other things going on as well, but most of my focus has been on the weather as well.
Yeah, it's hard not to focus on that these days with this situation. So. Well, thanks very much, Phil. Thanks for catching us up on the markets.
All right, thanks for having me.
That was Phil Franz Workington of Markets Farm, and this is Between the Rows. That's all for this week. Join us again next week for another edition of Between the Rows. I'm Ed White.
Part of being a farmer is being an accountant and a mechanic and a chemist. You have lots on the go. So FarmLink makes your grain marketing go further. We help you reach your financial goals with calculated sales decisions. No bias, just solutions and results. Plus, with our new app GrainFox, we bring every opportunity right to your fingertips. Literally. Start seeing the returns that'll get your family ahead. You've earned it. FarmLink. Your work is worth more. Get started at farmlinksolutions.ca.